Days at the Symphony, the Festival Live Chamber Music Series, the Grand Cru Piano Series, and more. Check out the complete festival schedule and reserve your seats now at festivalnapavalley.org. It's the 10 best days of summer.
You're listening to 1440 KVON, the voice of the Napa Valley. Here's your host, Barry Martin.
And yes, thank you again, Ira, and we are back on the KVON Morning Show for this Tuesday. It's the 24th of July. I am Barry Martin, and we're glad to have you tuned in for today. A couple of quick need-to-know things before we proceed. Item one, forecast says, nice, warm, sunny summer day. High today, mid-80s. Here in Napa, mid to upper 90s in some up valley locations later on. Right now we're at 57 with partial overcast, and the sun's going to prevail here pretty soon. Traffic's been pretty easy going this morning around the North Bay. We did have a couple of items to note. Trouble in the Benicia area, 780 eastbound at the 5th Street off-ramp. Traffic hazard reported there a little while ago. And we also have a defective traffic signal problem, Verano Avenue and Highway 12 in Sonoma. Elsewhere, things look pretty good around the North Bay. No other problems to relate to you right now. Thirdly, the markets. Been a good day for Wall Street so far. Right out of the box, things were on the plus side, and they've stayed that way throughout the first hour and 40 minutes of trading. Last time we checked, the Dow was up about a full percentage point. Let's see where we're at right at this particular moment at 10 past 8. Refreshing. Here it comes. Looks like the gains are moderating just a little bit, and we're seeing the Dow plus side at about 0.7% currently. Other markets, the S&P up about 0.5% now, and the same for the NASDAQ, all on the plus side so far today. And that's it. Markets, traffic, and the weather at 10 past 8. Time now to turn our attention to the upcoming Napa City Council candidates race, which come November we'll be voting for two seats for Napa City Council. Today we're continuing our candidate profile series, and we welcome into the studio Ricky Hurtado. Ricky, welcome.
Good morning, Barry. Thank you so much for having me here.
Absolutely. Thanks for being in. Let's start with basics. We like to get an idea of the background of people who are running for office, where you're from, what your educational background is, your work experience to lead you to this point.
So yeah, definitely, Barry. Well, again, thank you so much. Just want to say good morning to all of our Napa Valley residents, our City of Napa residents. Again, I'm Ricky Hurtado. I'm running for Napa City Council. Born and raised here in this community, and I've had the opportunity to go through our school systems. But before I get into that a little bit more, you know, my family does come from the state of Michoacán, Mexico. We're a large population here in the city of Napa, Riverside. And my dad first came to Napa Valley in general at the age of 17. He's been working the fields and is still a farm worker to this day. When my mom first arrived to the U.S., she was a housekeeper working in the lodging industry. Now she cleans houses. So that's what my background my parents have been doing for all these years, something they still do to this day. And that has really those humble beginnings when my family decided to officially relocate here after I was born. We didn't have much, just like and we lived with one of my uncles. As we know, many of our families in our Napa Valley and our city of Napa as well might be living with 2-3 families at once because they're trying to make ends meet. And that's exactly how my family was. It was until we lived and my parents applied to housing that's affordable, Charter Oak Apartments out by Westwood Hills. That really gave my parents the opportunity to save up. We were there for about 4 years or so, and they purchased their first home here in Napa, in downtown Napa. So that's where my childhood was, really growing up in our valley. I said I went through our school systems here, and through the school systems, I definitely had some great mentors, some teachers that motivated me, encouraged me. And I think it was in high school when I decided what I wanted to do with my life, to serve others. It is then when I was I became the first ASB Associated Student Body Latino president of Napa High School. And that was a few moons back.
Not very many.
Yes, I am still young. And it is there when I really started getting engaged with our community, supporting immigrant rights advocates, especially as my family is mixed status. I thought that was a very important calling. But aside from that, I've been involved in several different boards and committees. I ended up going to Sac State. Barry, I honestly never thought that I was going to go to get my higher education. Thought I was going to be, I'll say, like the rest of my family, just go to high school, graduate, maybe work in the fields. But no, I think what encouraged me again, it was those teachers, those mentors, programs such as Avid Talent Search, but also my now wife, who is my high school sweetheart. She went off to Cal Poly, but she was really encouraged me, motivated me to go to college. I went to Sac State, got my degree in government, and specifically state and local government. And I served on, I worked on various campaigns out in Sacramento, a little bit different than our Napa Valley here. And it is again through those experiences. My wife went to Cal Poly. She then went to Mississippi State University to get her vet degree, and she's now a veterinarian in town. Since coming back, I've decided to work in the nonprofit field for the last 6 years, working with Up Valley Family Centers. And really helping them consolidate their services. It used to be known as St. Lena and Calistoga Family Center, and then they merged, and I was there through that process of reconciling all the numbers. And so, I worked with youth programs, supporting our youth, mentoring our youth in St. Lena and Calistoga while living in Napa. But at the same time, then an opportunity came up to become the development manager, where I helped with the fundraising aspect of the organization. And it was a hard decision to leave. Now I'm working with Cope Family Center. And we're just here about a few months ago in April to talk about Child Abuse Prevention Month with Cope Family Center. Mm-hmm. But again, it is that intuition to serve and to help our community, to give others the opportunity that were given to me growing up and to my family. And that's why I've decided to run for Napa City Council, is to support our community.
Very good. Just before we get into some specific local issues, you mentioned working on campaigns in Sacramento. What kind of campaigns?
I worked on a few campaigns out there, specifically with Dr. Ami Berra for Congress campaign, which was he was running against Dan Lundgren, who is a former lieutenant governor, and it was a very, very tough race. He lost the first race, but we ended up coming back again the fall in 2 years, and we defeated Dan Lundgren. It was a very tough race. Again, even going door to door with those campaigns, it was completely different as to what I'm getting here in our community. Sure. Going door to door. Also, as a candidate here in Napa, well, I've worked on a few other campaigns supporting different people that are trying to run, and now it's mine.
So it's been candidates, not ballot measures or
yes, propositions. Correct, candidates.
Okay,
yeah,
just interesting. Okay, very good. So what are you hearing? You're out there knocking on doors now.
Yes, I am.
What do you hear from people that you talk to when you? I'm sure you ask, you know, what's important to you? What are your priorities for the council to address?
Yeah, what's different about my approach and what's different about my campaign, I've said it before and I'll continue to say it, this is not just my campaign, this is our campaign, this is a community's campaign. I really consider it a grassroots campaign, from the funding portion to the talking to the people. And what I've seen in working with other campaigns is we usually go to a door, we tell them about our priorities. I'm taking a different approach. I'm going up to their doors and I'm asking to listen to them, to see what they would like to see for our city of Napa. All that information, all that feedback, I'm taking it in. What I continue to hear the most is housing. And that coincides with the recent survey that the city of Napa did. It was a city council workshop that was released on March 9th, and the city conducted. So they got a few responses, and number one priority was housing. So I'm going door to door, talking to people, regardless of political affiliation, regardless of anything, people want housing. We have a growing senior population, and we need to make sure that we take care of them. I had this story I recently posted on my Facebook account. It was this 80-year-old man who's third or fourth generation Napa here in Napa. He was born in a farm back when that used to happen, but he's still working at 80 years old, trying to pay off his house, trying to take care of some IRS problems that he's been involved with. Aside from that, he said, "Ricky, I'm 80. I should be retired. The reason I'm working is because I still need to pay my mortgage. But aside from that, my wife has cancer." We both were in tears just hearing that story. And he said, you know, there's probably not much that you could do at the city level. But I thank you for listening to me, for opening that door, and just really seeing and just hearing him out. I think, again, that's the important part about my campaign, is listening to members of our community. The continuous thing that also continues to come up as I'm going door to door is that people feel left out. Our local residents don't feel that the city has a good balance or a grip with locals and tourism. Again, this gentleman that I talked to, he said, "You know, Ricky, I haven't gone to a downtown area in the last 7 years. Why? Because I can't afford it. It's changing too much." So those are some of the things that continue to come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, housing is clearly the number one issue, as you said. The surveys show it, conversations, casual comments. We all know it's a really significant problem on a lot of different strata. Mm-hmm. You know, it's even people who are making significant amounts of money have housing challenges, and people at the lower end of the scale are locked out of the market, basically.
Correct.
Scrabbling for apartments. It's really tough right now. So how do we fix it? That's the big question. What are your proposals to improve the housing problem?
How do we fix it? So I have three priorities, one of them being housing, then we'll get into the other ones. But we do have a few opportunities coming up here in the city of Napa that will be able to half mix housing for all levels, really. That's the Health and Human Services Department that located right next to Juvenile Hall, that I think we should take advantage of and use it, especially because we're so restricted as a community through the RUL and the Ag Preserve with the county as well. We need to make sure that we honor those, but at the same time, take advantage of the locations that are available right now. I think the Health and Human Services Department is a great area to do some sort of mixed housing. Now, I've been having a few conversations with a few people out in the community, and they say, well, we need to make sure that we also preserve the buildings out in the old Health and Human Services Department. So I say, okay, well, maybe we could do that. What's called the Crescent. There's the three main buildings that I think we could reuse. A lot of communities, a lot of other cities are reusing old buildings to its full extent. So I think that we could have that balance of providing that. And working with the county and the city and Abode, who is contracted, they're working also to help the homeless situation here in Napa. Majority of our homeless in Napa are long-time Napans, so that are being just forced out, or for whatever reason, they end up in this spot. So when we talk about housing, we really need to incorporate what's the homeless population. They have the model of what's housing first. I say, yes, that's a great model, but we need to make sure, and I think coming from an experience that, I'm an open book. I have a brother who has been in and out of the streets, in and out of jail, even at times. So growing up with that, we need to make sure, I think, that we also focus our energy in supporting and giving the skills to people that are homeless, aside from providing housing first. and also our senior population. I mean, it just continues to grow here in the city of Napa and in our county. So we need to make sure that not only we renovate our senior center, which is happening on Jefferson Street, but something that I've been talking about, working in the nonprofit field, I've seen firsthand what some of our seniors are facing with their choosing their medication or paying their rent or their bills. So we need to make sure that we deliver the services out to seniors, but also have more opportunities. Again, we could have mixed level housing at the old Health and Human Services Department. Also, there's going to be a proposed or a ballot measure that's going to be in November. That's to have a 1% of the TOT, transient occupancy tax money, to go and support affordable housing. I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great start. It might not solve all of our problems. Housing is a very complex issue, but I think it's the right step forward. Mm-hmm. And I'm in full support of doing that. It would generate about, for the city of Napa, over $1 million, which each unit approximately costs $500,000. So I think that we should definitely take advantage of that opportunity. We've engaged, again, working in the nonprofit field, we've engaged, I feel, the Vintners in supporting different aspects of our community, from nonprofits to housing. As the lodging industry continues to grow, I think that's a great opportunity to further engage them. We're going to continue having not only low-skill job, but admin jobs of the lodging industry. We need to make sure that we engage them and work with them and the county to ensure that we provide these homes, these solutions. So aside from that, I always say I'm the candidate that will reinvest back into our community. We'll do that, I think, again, through engaging our lodging industry. We need to make sure that we have someone that grew up here. There wasn't much, I'm sure, to those that are listening to us who have kids. Either there's the bowling alley, there's the theaters. Aside from that, oh, and then there's the skate park, which is at south end of Napa. But besides that, there's not much. If your kid is not into sports, yes, we got the Boys and Girls Club, we got other activities. But I think that we need to reinvest back into our community by providing those, making sure that our parks and rec, and maybe even a community center that can children and families can go to, can attend. So the rec center that I've gone to once in a while, my wife loves playing volleyball. Most times I find it closed. And so making sure, again, that we provide maybe even the funding necessary to ensure that we have those opportunities for our families here. So those are some things that I'm looking at. Again, I'm 100% in favor of that TOT, 1%, but we could also engage the lodging industry in other aspects.
So let's come back on housing topics. Let's talk specifically about that 1% TOT increase. Mm-hmm. I would say it's almost a certainty that the voters will approve that. And so it does create a pot of money that the cities and county can use for affordable housing or housing projects. Specifically, how would you see that 1% spent? You mentioned you could maybe $500,000 a unit, but does that mean the city-built, city-owned units?
I think we should be working with private public. That's what the approach that I think that we should be looking at this and making sure that we provide this opportunity. But I don't think that it should be city run. But I think that working with private entities, we should move forward with that. So that's I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. And then from with that money, building units that are then controlled, that the cost to rent or to own is controlled in some way to make them affordable?
Yes. I think that's an important, especially as I'm a renter, and many renters here in our community know how expensive it is to live here, even home buyers or homeowners. So yes, I think that it should have some sort of levels, different criteria that can allow different people of different incomes to allow to live in these homes. It shouldn't just be low income. It should be mid income as well, and other ranges for our community. There should be that mixed level housing in our community at all levels. Specifically, I think our downtown area needs a little bit more housing. How we'll do that, we'll see. There's a few other people that have asked me, Ricky, you know, what are your thoughts on doing high-risers? And I say, well, there's, you know, we're looking at, you know, some people brought up San Francisco. I said, yeah, probably not. I think, you know, building up is appropriate, but we need to make sure that we look at what the city permits, and we need to make sure that when appropriate, that maybe we could build up. But I think that's a great opportunity for our community. I'm not talking about skyrisers. I'm just talking about whatever permits, and make sure that we take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. I think you made a reference to engaging the lodging industry. Some people commonly see on social media and other places, people say these new hotels should provide the housing for their employees. Is that a realistic approach? Do you think you can make that work?
I think so. And I think we've just recently seen it with the Trinitas project. It's a new hotel that'll be coming here to town, I believe by the Meritage. So don't quote me on that. But they're going to be building a certain number of units for their workforce. It won't be on site. But I think it's important that we're taking that step forward. It's something that we haven't really seen in our community, but I think it's a great way going forward to ensure that we provide some sort of housing for that workforce. And again, it's not going to be addressing all of our housing needs in general in California, Bay Area. We are faced with this reality, but we must do more. I think this is a great opportunity to do that.
We're talking with Ricky Hurtado. It's our candidate profile series. Mr. Hurtado is a candidate for Napa City Council coming up in November. We've talked a lot about housing. We'll get into tourism and other topics when we come back. Quick break here on the KVON Morning Show. More of our candidate profile on the way.
The Joe DiMaggio State Baseball Tournament set to wrap up today. This is a sports report with Ira C. Smith. Looks like the Pacifica Gamecocks are going to be the champions as they go into today's game, needing to lose twice. Otherwise, they will be the champion, taking on either San Francisco Barbarians or San Bruno. San Bruno's the Joe D team that eliminated Napa High 9-2. Napa finished in sixth place in that tournament with a 1-win and 2-loss record. All the games are being played at Cleve Borman Field, the Veterans Home in Yountville. Napa Silverados, the professional baseball team, has a 2-game series on the road at Pittsburgh getting underway tonight. The two teams are battling for that fourth and final playoff spot in their league. The Silverados with 20 wins, the Diamonds with 21 wins. 6 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night, the airtime for the broadcast on KVON. The San Francisco Giants open a series at Seattle against the Mariners. The Oakland A's continue at Texas against the Rangers. And today is a 135.5-mile mountain trek in stage 16 of the Tour de France. And Napa High's new head football coach Tom Pettahome has named his defensive coordinator Anthony Brown Armstrong and his head JV coach Bumper LaRue. Pettahome comes to Napa after having been an assistant football coach at Wilsey Wood High School in Vacaville.
Hi, this is Gigi from Lido Auto Body, located in the heart of Napa. Lido Auto Body has been serving the Napa Valley for 43 years, and we know the automotive industry. Our number one goal is customer satisfaction. Lido Auto Body works closely with our customers and insurance companies to get you and your vehicle back safely on the road. Remember, it's your choice where you go for repairs. Make it Lido Auto Body, 1725 Action Avenue, proudly serving the Napa community.
Your Napa Valley and North Bay News is brought to you by the Napa Valley Wine Train, making Monday blues a whole lot better with Hop Train Happy Hour. Train departs at 5:45 p.m. Locals pay just $50. Starting June 18th, every Monday, we invite you to join the Hop Train Happy Hour. Book your experience at winetrain.com using booking code LHNS. Restrictions apply.
In California, putting up with crazy traffic isn't a choice. Semis passing over here. Motorcycles over there. Tailgaters everywhere. And up there, a guy who's driving like he's never seen rain before. But at Nissan, we build cars with Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Inside the 2018 Leaf, technology is designed around you, like ePedal, that can help make stop and go traffic less strenuous. Here, here, and here, helping make your commute smoother. But no matter how much technology we put in our cars, we'll always keep you in the driver's seat. The all-new Nissan Leaf, starting just under $30,000. Now the most exciting tech you can own is in your driveway.
Availability of features varies by vehicle model year, model, trim level, packaging, and options. Monitor traffic conditions and use conventional brake as needed to prevent collisions. See owner's manual for safety information. For well-qualified buyers, $29,990 starting MSRP excludes tax, title, license, and destination charge. Dealer sets actual price.
Safeway Open, presented by Chevron, returns to Napa at the Silverado Resort and Spa October 3rd through the 7th. World Golf Hall of Famer Phil Mickelson and two-time defending champion Brendan Steele headline the field at the PGA Tour's season opener. When the golf ends, the music begins. The Safeway Open Concert Series kicks off on Thursday night with Sammy Hagar. Friday night features Young the Giant, and Saturday night, don't miss Billy Idol live from the Chevron stage. Daily tickets start at just $30 and include access to golf and concerts. New this year, 100% of ticket sales support fire relief right here in the Napa Valley. For tickets and information, visit SafewayOpen.com.
Time now, 8:34 at KVON, 57 degrees and overcast, official Napa temperature right now. On our way to a high mid-80s for Napa, probably mid-90s or so in the Up Valley locations today. Nothing new in the traffic report. Couple of traffic hazards, animal hazards scattered around. No big jam-ups that I'm aware of for the North Bay counties currently. And on the markets, everything's on the plus side so far today. The three major indices ranging from 0.4 to 0.7 of 1% on the plus side so far in trading today. In this hour, it's a candidate profile. We're meeting Ricky Hurtado, candidate for Napa City Council, coming up in November. There are two seats available on the council and, six total candidates. Why are so many people running?
Well, so many people are running. There's an open position. Juliana Inman did great work in our community, but she has moved to Oregon. So I think that's why there's so many of us competing for this spot. And yes, Pete does have an advantage and a good friend. But yes, we all know each other. Small town. Sure. But yeah.
It's kind of nice to have a community where people can compete on an ethical and friendly basis. We don't see the kind of horrible political tactics in Napa that we see in some places, so that's encouraging, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely beneficial. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the tourism issue. You mentioned this a little while ago in your opening. We have reached a point where it's a little, a little harder, a little less likely that people will be a complete go-go advocate for more tourism, more hotels, more anything that draws more visitors. As much as we rely on them, there's a significant feeling in the community that we're kind of reaching a saturation point.
Yes.
And that the community has changed and in some ways and places maybe changed that some people don't like.
Yeah.
And yet, we've now created a revenue stream for government that is really important, and the TOT revenue is going to surpass even property tax pretty soon.
It's high up there.
Right? So we have that. That's what we've developed. It's created a lot of jobs. It's created a really robust economy. People are really coming here like they never did before. But on the other hand, locals feel like they're overwhelmed with it. How do you, going forward in the future, this is only mm-hmm. going to become more of a concern. How do you create that balance?
Yeah, it's a very tough. I mean, you said it right. I mean, TOT funding already just for our city, it's at $22 million here in our community, projected to grow up to $38 million by 2024. It has already surpassed sales tax, which was the second, and now TOT is. So I think the city and the county have really taken precedent in increasing the tourism here in our community. And how you said it, there's some good benefits to it as well. We need to recognize those benefits, including the revenue that it supports our coffers, our local economy. And I think this goes back to the housing issue. And people feel that, you know, we're building all these hotels. What's in it for me? Again, I think that's where we have to engage, having that balance. That's why I keep on bringing that up. It's engage the lodging industry to support our housing here in our community. People of all kinds have told me, you know, either for me as a senior or either for me that has a family that wants my family or they want to come back, have house here. We need to make sure that we're providing that. So how we do that, I think, again, it's engaging the lodging industry. And I think, you know, when we talk about tourism as well, and the hotels industry, yes, that continues to grow, and it brings low-skilled jobs. It brings all kinds of jobs to our local economy. So people coming into our town, I mean, there's a lot of people that have moved out, quite frankly, out of the city of Napa or out of just Napa Valley at all, just here completely. So when we talk about tourism, we also need to be talking about greenhouse emissions, climate change in our local area. I think that local leaders and state leaders should be addressing this issue. And how we do that is by being able to provide, again, some more of a housing component here in our community and in California again. So that's what I'm looking at, to have that balance. Again, it's just going to be, housing is a very complex issue. Tourism industry is a very complex issue, but we just need to make sure, I think, that we continue to engage also other job growths. I don't think it should only just be, and I mean, we've done great work with the lodging industry or and with wineries, but I really do think that we should be bringing and trying to entice other businesses to come to our community so we have a diverse workforce as well.
Let's talk about the City Hall project, also known as Civic Center project. I was talking some different guests on this subject over the last couple of weeks, and it's clearly become a political issue now, and that creates a whole different situation than when it was a non-election season, as we're being discussed. So as the plan is currently being presented by the city, and there have been some workshops, and there is a plan in place, do you favor the existing city plan, or do you feel that needs to be changed?
Yeah, so the Civic Center is a very complex issue as well, and something that's, I think, will be boiling up, continuing to boiling up. It's a long-term investment. I mean, we're looking at about $110 million for this Civic Center just to construct it. That does not include what would be the super block, where there would be there's been talk about having a housing element. There's been talk about having retail, and they've added more and more things. So I do think that having all of the city services in one area is beneficial. Again, as I go door to door and talk to people, many of the people don't know that this is even happening in our community or that these talks have been happening in our community. So again, this is significant investment. It's very long term. The overall population, what I've been coming to find out, doesn't know that this is going on. So I do generally support the idea of having a civic center, especially as some of our infrastructure is deteriorating. I mean, just let alone, it would be about $77 million to fix our current infrastructure right now that we have in place for the city services. So again, I do generally support the idea, but not enough voices, I think, have been heard. I mean, there have been going to some of the city council meetings, some of the city council workshops, and it has been brought up here and there, but I believe it's been under 20 times last time I went to a city council meeting. This continues to come up. Long Beach Civic Center project, they had over 100 public meetings, so I think that we should be doing some more to engage all of our community to ensure that voices are heard. So that's the approach that I'm looking at this.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's a significant risk in a project like this that involves financing and counting on the TOT to cover costs of a new city hall?
Yeah, it's a big investment. Some of the talks that have been talked that they've been talking about is that with the super block, that would be a revenue stream to support some of the funding for that civic center. I think if I were on city council and if I were to vote on it, I want to make sure that it is done right, and we need to explore every option possible on the table. I think we definitely again need to do something with this regard making a civic center happen. I wouldn't even call it civic center, where we're going to be having a lot of the city hall and potentially police and other services in the same location.
Let's turn to the subject of streets and sidewalks. This has been the bane of Napa for a few decades, buckled sidewalks and potholes in the streets. We've had conversations here on the show talking about how the pavement management index has improved significantly. Our streets are much better because of programs the city's put into place. What's your general feeling about streets and sidewalks issue, and where does it go from here if you're elected to the council?
Yeah, I mean, another great important issue. I think this falls second under housing as being really important to our community members. Just walking, I love to run, Barry, and sometimes I'm scared that I'm going to fall. Sometimes I'm even concerned that our seniors or other people will be injured. So it is a great issue that we need to address soon. Yes, the city and county have taken great steps to further support this, and we do have Measure T that has begun this July. Measure T was the bond that was passed in 2012 to further support our infrastructure, our roads, and sidewalks. So I think that that is a great approach, but we need to make sure that we divert some of that money really to where our local residents live. I know many people aren't too happy with how their roads are, and as a city council member, I'll work towards a really collaborative approach between city and county to cohesively address and invest in our infrastructure. I think that's a great opportunity to be working with our county as well, including just really our neighborhoods as well, making sure that they're well-equipped and that people feel safe. I mean, there's some areas in our town that don't even have a sidewalk. People are very concerned about that. So,
yeah. As you know, the current city manager, Mike Parnes, is about to retire. He's just got a couple mm-hmm. days left on the job. That could mean that the next council will be hiring the new city manager.
That's right.
How do you feel about that, and what would the criteria be that you'd be looking at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this next city council is going to be faced with many big long-term issues that will affect our local community, from a city manager to we now have a new police chief, but now also looking at the 2040 general plan for the next 20 years. So in general, for a city manager, I think you know, Mike Parnes has done a great job. I mean, he's been with the city for a very long time. So I think having that stability in our community is important. So I think having someone that has a lot of experience in how cities work and city managers work, I think it's really important. I think, You know, right now, Chief Potter is going to be taking over that position as interim. Yes, we just need to make sure that we hire someone, whether locally or from outside. I think even people from outside of the area, bring a great depth of knowledge that maybe us locals might not see. So I think that's important.
Very good. Once again, our guest is Ricky Hurtado. He is a candidate for Napa City Council. We're doing one of our candidate profile segments right now, and a chance to get some basics, some positions on significant issues. Somewhere further down the road, we get closer to November, we'll have some group get-togethers and hear all the candidates in the same room and a chance to debate things a little bit. You've been to some forums already.
Yes, I just had one last night.
And how are those going? What are you learning from that
process? Oh, no, it's definitely very beneficial. Again, it's just, I think, the most important part about these forums. Yes, we have some preset questions, and specifically with different groups, but I think having the Q&A with the audience, having those opportunities are some of the best. We get to learn of maybe things that we're not aware about. Like yesterday, there's a new measure that might be coming to town, which is Measure 10. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that, but I mean, that was just brought up to my attention, to Pete's attention, and we're like, oh, we didn't know that this was coming up in November.
Measure 10?
Yes. So I'm still not 100% sure about it. but it's something to be looking at, and it will be in the November election. So that's something definitely to keep track of. Aside from that, oh, by the way, Artie just texted me and said, tell Barry I said hi.
Okay, Artie. Thanks. Artie managed to get his name in there.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about general plan update for a moment. Beyond hiring a new city manager and other topics and the Civic Center project, there's a general plan update coming due. It's a big task. It sets the course for 20 years to come. What are your thoughts about that? Do you see significant change that you would like to see take place in the way the general plan is laid out?
Yeah, I think, again, it's a long-term plan that we really need to engage our community members. And there's starting to be some conversations in our community about, you know, kind of how that would look like. Again, I think the overall feeling in our community is that people feel that they're not being paid attention to. So I think addressing that issue it's really important for this general plan. Yes, we need to continue looking at tourism and our growth in the lodging industry, but we really need to be focusing on as well on our local residents. So I think that I won't stress that enough. It's just very important that we do that for this general plan.
Let's take a couple of minutes for a form of closing statement here. We wrap up our candidate profile with Ricky Hurtado.
Yeah, so again, Barry, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity today to talk to you a little bit about more of what are some of my ideas and what I've been listening out in the community again, someone who comes from very humble beginnings in our community, who not only talks about housing that's affordable, but lived through it and lived through poverty. I know firsthand those experiences. Work in a nonprofit field. I work with the voiceless, really, getting to see our families go through the daily challenges, even just to provide food on the table. So that is my background. I want to make sure that all of our voices are heard here in our community. I want to be that voice. I want to be that champion for you. I think listening is one of the key aspects that a city council member needs to address, and I will make sure that I do that. Again, this is not just my campaign. This is our campaign, whoever wants to join us, and this is what it's about. I always say it's from the community for the community. That's who I am. That's what I'm about. And I hope I earn your support, your endorsement, and your vote this November. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. I'll give you my personal cell phone here. It's 707-681-4115. 707-681-4115. 1-800-273-1515. Again, that's my personal cell phone number, and I want to make sure that I listen to you, our community members, our small business owners, and all of our community in general. So thank you for your time.
You bet. And I would assume you have a website also?
Yes, also I have a website. You can check me out at www.votehurtado.com. VoteHurtado.com.
Okay, very good. Thanks for coming in today, and we'll see you down the road.
Thank you so much, Barry. Appreciate it.
Ricky Hurtado in our candidate profile series. More to come on the morning show as we wrap things up for today after this.
This is Steve Gorman Sports.
Josh Hader, reliever for the Brewers, didn't look too good.